Preston Road Church of Christ, it is a joy to worship with you this morning. It is an honor to stand before you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you to Josh for the chance to speak to you all. On behalf of Christian Works for Children, I am honored to say thank you. Thank you from a ministry that you support. Thank you from a ministry that you love. Thank you from a ministry that you volunteer. Thank you so much for this church. It says in Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 17, "Learn to do what is right, seek justice." Then the prophet writer tells us what doing right looks like. And it says, "Defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." And since 1967, this has been the work of Christian Works for Children. And we have been so blessed and honored to partner with Preston Road Church of Christ for decades. In fact, one of my predecessors, Cullen Johnson, was a member here at this church. I have two board members, Dr. Vivian Jones and also Michael Sanderson. They serve as board members for Christian Works for Children, advocates for the ministry. So I cannot miss this opportunity to thank you all for the partnership that we have, this church and also Christian Works for Children. Number two, today's a special day, right? Mother's Day. So I want to also be another person in line to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I think Hannah said it so eloquently when she was giving her introduction. This is a day for so many women, for mothers, for grandmothers, for spiritual mothers, for future mothers, for maternal figures. In fact, I've always thought that this is the perfect day in church to honor the sacred feminine, to honor the feminine that is among us. Did you see in Genesis chapter 1, when God created man and woman, God created man and woman in God's own image. So what that means is that there is a part of the feminine, the fullest form of the feminine, that when we witness this feminine, we are catching a glimpse of the nature and character of God. In the same way, a healthy masculinity, when that's done well in the fullest form, when we see that, it gives us a glimpse into the nature and character who God is. And so it's magic when you have the feminine and you have the masculine together, because in that partnership, whether it's in the family, in an institution, in a business, in a church, whenever that partnership takes place, we are blessed with a more fuller, more robust picture of who God is. So today, at Preston Road Church of Christ, we are going to honor the feminine. And the main character of this sermon is a female character in the scriptures. It's a female character that's mentioned in Proverbs and also in the New Testament. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to name this amazing woman in Proverbs 3, 14 through 18. It describes this female character. It says, "She is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." Another verse in Proverbs 4, 6. "She will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." Proverbs 1, 20 and 21, "Out of the open, she calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech." All right, pop quiz, Preston Road. Can you tell me who this female character is? On the count of three, let's all say at the same time. One, two, three. Three,
wisdom.
This is wisdom. And wisdom is one of those terms, those concepts. It's hard to define. You kind of know it when you see it. But it's really hard to put into a very succinct, clear definition. There have been some that have tried to do it. The Old Testament scholar Trimper Longman III says that wisdom is how to live in God's world, in God's way. So being in such alignment with God, seeing the world as God sees the world, that we live and we see the world as God would live and see the world. Tim Keller, and Cliff, I put this in there for you, my man, because he's a big Tim Keller fan. Tim Keller says that wisdom is knowing the right thing to do in the 80% of life situations to which the moral rules don't apply. The 80% of the life of life where the moral rules don't apply, wisdom, this is when wisdom steps in. And a definition that I like is wisdom is learning to see reality the way God sees it and then having the courage to live accordingly. But then we go back to the scriptures. And in the ancient languages, in Hebrew and in Greek, different words had either a masculine and a feminine. And each time in scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when wisdom is used, it's always in the feminine form. Wisdom is always used in feminine. In the New Testament, how many of you know the Greek word for wisdom? Sophia. It's a female word, a very popular name. I think when I was having kids, it was in the top percentage of names on the planet. So there's a ton of Sophias right now living in the world. There's Sophia F, Sophia J, you know, in the classrooms. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is chokmah. Can you guys say chokmah? Not too many names. Not too many girls out there named chokmah. But this is also a feminine word. And it's interesting what they do in the wisdom tradition, because they take this female word chokmah, and in Proverbs, she is personified to be a woman. She is personified to be a woman who stands at the gates. In fact, in Proverbs, it says that this chokmah, this female, this personification was there at the very beginning of creation, working alongside God in the very establishment of the universe. It says that this chokmah, this wisdom, stands in the streets, calls out publicly on our behalf, inviting ordinary people into a better way of life. This chokmah was there at the beginning, before the mountains, as the oceans were being formed, before humanity. Proverbs tells us that this chokmah, this female personification, is more valuable than gold, more valuable than silver, guides us, watches over us, and loves us. And we come to the verse that I'm real excited about. Proverbs 7, verse 4. As the proverb writers are personifying this wisdom character, this chokmah, in the ancient wisdom tradition, we get to verse 7, verse 4, and it says, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Say to wisdom that you are my sister." Imagine this. This is not a stranger, not a distant philosophy. This is not just a subject. A sister, someone close who walks beside each of us. So the main character today, the main takeaway, when you talk about what we're going to talk about today after lunch, listen to your sister. That's my sermon in one line. Listen to your sermon. Listen to your sister. That's the takeaway. Because I go back to that Tim Keller quote that says that wisdom is helping us with the 80% where there are no clear moral rules. I mean, we're pretty clear on the 20%. We know, all of us collectively, that it's probably not a good idea to rob a bank. It's pretty clear. We know to follow the law, but there's the 80% of life where it gets complicated. A little bit of gray area. Times where we may not know the right answer, or there's maybe multiple right ways and we're trying to find the right path between these things. In our current world, I mean, the 80% of how do we read the news and not lose our mind? How do we raise teenagers and children in such a complex world where there's multi-billion dollar businesses vying and competing for our children's attention? How do I respond to people when I've been hurt? Do I fight to be right, or do I fight for peace? How do I love the difficult people in my life? How do I suffer without becoming bitter? These are the moments when we need wisdom to yell out loud from the gates, to speak into our lives. This is why we need wisdom. This is why it is so, so amazing to me and so comforting that the scriptures say that wisdom, this chokmah, this personification in the Old Testament, this wisdom is our sister. So 3 points today that we're going to talk through. And then after these 3 points, there'll be a story and then we'll be done. But the first point about this chokmah, this personification of wisdom that I want to hit on, is that wisdom is a daily choice. Wisdom is a choice. It's something that we actively have to pursue. When I first moved to Dallas, I had moved here from South America to Dallas. And Dallas was a new city for me. It was a new culture. And I had heard that living in Dallas, this robust city, that you don't come to Dallas just to be. You come to Dallas to become. And I thought to myself, man, I need to do my research on this new culture. I need to learn who Dallas is, what the culture is. And so I was able to connect with a very successful businessman here in Dallas who'd been working for years, CEO of a major company, and I was able to score a lunch with him. And so we met at a really amazing, very fancy restaurant overlooking downtown. And we were able to talk, and I was able to pick his brain. It was a master class of leadership. And I left so filled, and we finished the lunch, and we were walking out to the parking lot, and we had said our goodbyes, and I was halfway to my car, and I heard my name, Jomar. And I realized it was this businessman. And so I slowly walked back, and he said, hey, there's one more thing that I forgot to tell you. And I was all ears. Well, what is it? He said, you need to know this, that in life, no one is waking up in the morning thinking about how to make John Mark's life better. No one wakes up and on their to-do list is John Mark's life needs to get better. That nobody wakes up in the morning and you come into their mind. So if you want something, you've got to take it. If you want something, you got to go for it because it's on you, because nobody has your back. Nobody is waking up in the morning thinking about how to make John Mark's life better. And I walked away so kind of inspired by that. You know, you got to grab life by the horns. You're right. It is me. It is only me. And I began thinking and living that way. Come to find out, three weeks later, I'm driving to work early in the morning. And I receive a call from my good friend Charles. And we had met a few weeks earlier for a lunch. And he calls me. I pick up the phone. He says, hey, what's up, Charles? He says, hey, Joe Mark, I woke up thinking about you. And I said, Charles, you woke up thinking about me? So, yeah, I woke up thinking about you. After our conversation, I thought about this person that you need to connect with. Is it cool if I set up a meeting with you and this person? And I said, Charles, wait a second. Did you wake up and the first thing you thought about was how to make John Mark's life better? He had no context to what I was saying. He said, I guess I did. But I just wanted to see if you wanted to connect with this person. Is it cool if I set this meeting up? And it dawned on me in that moment that my buddy Charles and this amazing, successful businessman live in the same city. They drive the same streets. They maybe go to the same grocery stores. They pass the same buildings. But they're living in two different realities. One, grab life by the horns. The life's going to get you. You better work hard or it's on you. And the other reality, I can wake up in a world where my brother and my sister is thinking about me. Which path or are we going to choose? And life every day gives us this choice. In James chapter 3, which is another, I don't have it on the slide, but in James chapter 3 it says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such," quote-unquote, "wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." You see, in James, it gives us a choice. It says there is earthly wisdom, and there's also wisdom that comes from above. From above, the source is God, the source of all good and amazing things, and God can fill us with this wisdom, but there's a different type of reality. There's another type of wisdom that leads to bitterness and disruption and chaos. And every single day, we all have a choice. And we know life is complex, and sometimes there's gray areas, but it is true also that we have a choice of how we are going to treat the people before us. We're going to have a choice of how we treat the person who cut us off on the road. That every day we have a choice of who we are going to listen to, which voice. And are we going to choose to listen to our sister? That is the question. Point number two. So not only is wisdom a daily choice, that it's a gift from God that God gives us, but we have to pursue it. We have to tune our ears to listen to this wisdom. Wisdom, the second point is wisdom is near and accessible. It's a gift from God. She, Chokmah, this personification, she is shouting at the gates. The scriptures are clear that this is a gift that we can obtain as Christians today. It is a choice. I mean, there's another slide that says prayer is a way that we can, or posture is a way that we can access this wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In the scriptures, in the wisdom tradition, there is always a link to humility and wisdom. When we lay down ourselves, when we have a humble posture, that's when the Lord is invited into our space and we can listen clearly to the voice of our sister. Prayer. James 1:5 is very clear. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you want wisdom, pray. Ask God for this wisdom. Ask God for clarity to listen to the voice of your sister. Another way to access this wisdom is people. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And then we get to this metaphor of sister in Proverbs 7, where it says that wisdom is your sister. What a better metaphor than a sibling. I mean, there's nothing closer than a sibling. There's that saying that our parents leave us too early. Our spouse and our children come along too late. Our siblings are the only ones who are with us for the entire time. Our siblings have been with us the entire time. They've seen the very worst of us, and they still walk beside us. I mean, think about it. Your siblings knew you in middle school, and they still choose to be in the same room with you. They were witnesses to that bad haircut a long time ago when you had braces, and they still choose to walk alongside you. There is nothing more powerful than a relationship, a sibling relationship. And the sister is a very special one as well. How many of you in here have a sister? How many of you are a sister? And how many of you in here have multiple sisters? Now, here's a question I have for you. How many of you are here are sister to multiple brothers? God bless you. This is on my mind this week because my daughter who's here, she is about to go to college. She's going to Pepperdine in the fall. And she is one girl and three brothers. And I have memories of her when she was little coming down one day so frustrated. And she just sat down and said, "These boys, all they do is break stuff and eat." But I'm in a reflective mode as a father because I've seen her as a sister. And she, in a lot of ways, is the glue that holds the brothers together. And they call her all the time to ask what to wear, what it meant when that girl said this, what to do in these situations. They have her on speed dial. And I thought to myself, what a great depiction of what wisdom is for us. Wisdom is our sister. She's near. She is accessible. She is able to be reached and asked about what we need, and she's accessible. And so I think about what a beautiful illustration on this day we were honoring the feminine, that wisdom is that in our lives, that sister that holds us all together. Someone who is beside us, someone who walks with us, someone who knows our story, someone who's been there all along. And wisdom, this chokmah, this gift from God, is our sister. Finally, wisdom brings peace. It's important to know that wisdom can be detected. Wisdom has fruits. We know when someone is living with heaven, with heavenly wisdom, because there are fruits that emerge from a lifestyle like this. In fact, if we go to James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it describes what this heavenly wisdom is like. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And imagine, as I read this, imagine a world where these characteristics are evident in churches and businesses and in the government and the world. And this is the fruits of what living a heavenly wisdom is like. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So what this is saying is that the pathway, the ultimate destination, the result of living with this heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above, essentially is world peace. It's a world filled with people that have these characteristics, who are peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, sincere. Imagine a world where we were filled with people like that. And in the end, it says, it sows peace and it reaps a harvest of righteousness, which means it goes on generation after generation. And I had an experience where this lived out to a T. When I was at ACU, I was in grad school, and I just found out I was going to be a dad, so I needed to get a job. And so I heard about this youth ministry position in Holly, Texas, which is about 20 minutes north of Abilene. And there was a ton of applicants at this job because it came with a parsonage, a free house, and right there on the church property. And so a ton of people applied for this job. And to my surprise, I was selected as the final candidate. And I was the youth minister at this church of Holly Church of Christ. So later, I was able to get to know some of the church committee, the search committee at the church. And I had gotten to the point where I knew them, were close enough to where I could say, hey, I know this job was very competitive. What was it about my interview or, you know, my resume that put me over the edge? And the first person said, oh, no, it wasn't you. There were people that were a lot better than you, a lot more qualified. And so I said, well, what was it? And they said, well, I knew your dad. And if you're half the man your dad is, we'll be in good hands. I kind of got my feelings hurt a little bit. So I thought, I'm going to ask somebody else. And I asked another member of that search committee, and I said, hey, what was it about my interview, the essay I wrote that put me over the edge? I know this is a competitive job. And they said, oh, it wasn't you, John Mark. I said, well, what was it? He said, it was your granddad. I knew your granddad. And if you're half the man your granddad is, we're in good hands. And this is the result of wisdom. If we choose wisdom daily, if we listen to our sister, if we pursue the heavenly wisdom, if we embody these characteristics, how we live and how we treat people, it could impact our grandkids and our great-grandkids. I did not earn that job, but it was the result of my dad and my grandfather living into that wisdom and me benefiting from that fruit. To close, I do want to tell a story about my grandfather, Bob Davidson. He and my grandmother, Mert, were a pair, just an amazing partnership. I've told this story before, but it's one that really moves me about how later in my grandmother's life, she suffered from dementia. And dementia is a tough way to go. And my grandfather was her primary caregiver. And as many of you know who are caregivers, that's a very hard job. It's a thankless, tedious, a tough job. So I was back in College Station. I wanted to check on my grandfather to see how he was doing with this task. And I asked, hey, Granddad, how are you doing caring for Mimi? I know it's a lot of work. He says, oh, John Mark, if you only knew how good your grandmother was to me, you would realize that for me right now to serve her is the greatest gift I could ever ask for and brings me nothing but joy. If you only knew the times that when I was down, your grandmother picked me up. When I was sick, she was at my side. When I was in pain, she was a part of my healing. If you only knew how good your grandmother was to me, you would realize this is my joy. This is the greatest gift. And I thought to myself, as Christians, this is our same story. We can shout out to the mountaintops when people ask us why we carry a different joy, why we treat people differently, why we volunteer at Christian Works and bring a meal for the kids or volunteer at camp. If you only knew how good God has been to us, this is the only natural response. It's the only right thing to do is to serve with joy out of an overflow of gratitude. And add to the list that God has blessed us with a sister that we can hear, a sister that we can listen to, that can guide us in the 80% of life that is hard. Think about a struggle you are carrying right now. Think about an obstacle that's standing in your way. Think about something that is genuinely breaking your heart. And then remember this, that our God has given us a sister named Wisdom, a voice calling out for joy, for peace, for flourishing. A wisdom that is older than the mountains, older than the oceans, older than the universe itself. And this wisdom, she is always speaking. And the question we wrestle with today, this week, is not whether wisdom is speaking, but whether we are listening. Wisdom is our sister. As we honor the mothers today, let us do our best at listening to our sister in our life. God bless you.